And this is Yusuf.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
Yes, and we are officially in July, y'all. And I guess in 4 days from now, y'all are going to be firing up the grills and looking at fireworks and all the stuff that goes pop. But until we get to the 4th, we are going to get into a throwback movie with things that go pop, like guns. which is 1996, and the movie is Set It Off.
Right, so this is, I mean, this movie is our Pride transition movie, because we have one gay character played by Queen Latifah, and then we have three other women that aren't gay, but our ladies.
yes. Yeah, and so this movie was released November 6, 1996. Like I said, the year I got into film school, got out of high school. 96, what were we watching? So we were watching, going from 5 to 1, The Naked Truth, Friends, number 4, Subtly Susan, 3, Seinfeld, 2, ER, 1. And like I said, this is 96. So, of course, Macarena was dominating the airwaves in 96 by Los Del Rio. Yes, Macarena. Yes. We couldn't get away from that song if we tried in 96.
I know I was like huge in 96, but I know I remember going to parties in 95 where that song was already being played. So it's just... That song stuck around forever.
Yeah. You know what would be an interesting social experiment? If like a party, if you come across like a party with like millennials or whatever, you know, and the DJ just dropped Macarena, like what would be the reaction?
I'm sure they'd be very confused when all the parents got out there and started dancing. I think millennials would probably know it, but I think the Gen Z's, Gen A would be a little bit confused with that song. I saw a recent thing online, and it was like, how do you identify the different generations by what song they think of when you ask them to think of a song with the word sugar in it? As a Gen X, we're all like, pour some sugar on me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Like, I guess like my parents.
There's other songs with sugar in it. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There are.
Yeah. I mean, cause like, I guess my parents are raising like, was it The Temptation? It was like a sugar pie, honey bunch. No, you know, I can't help myself. I love you and nobody. I think that was either the Four Tops or the Temptations, one of the two.
right. And there's the also sugar.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was way more. Yep, that's true.
Wow. Yeah, so that would be the old school boomers.
Right on. Wow, that's interesting, sugar. So what's the newer generation's sort of sugar song?
Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm sure. Well, I know if I dig deep, I can find something that involves sugar in the 90s. Sugar Ray. Well, that was a group, right?
Yeah, they
didn't say anything about sugar.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm pretty sure millennials have their own sugar song, so you and I just can't think of it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, speaking of songs, 96. So before we delve deep into Set It Off, like I kind of want to get into, you know, and I'm glad deal was kind of keeping the music theme going. So, okay. So 96 was a pretty good year, you know, for, you know, alternative rock and hip hop. So alternative rock, one of my favorite albums of his and like that year, and you know, I still listen to it. Beck, Odelay, one of my favorite albums. Love that album. For back to front, as well as albums I can just listen to from front to back. Sublime, I thought Sublime album came out like 94, but it actually came out in 96. REM, New Adventures in Hi-Fi. And then we had Weezer, Pinkerton, and we had Radiohead, Free Spirit. And I don't remember the Lemon. Oh, Lemonheads. I remember Lemonheads.
I had that record.
Yeah, 96. That's crazy. Oh, PJ Harvey. I was in love with PJ Harvey. She had a joint in September of 96. There's some, you know, there's some decent alternative joints to rock out to. And as far as hip hop in 96, Trap Called Quest, Beats Rhymes Life, fourth album came out. The Roots, Illadelph Half-Life came out. Outkast, AT-Aliens came out. I mean, it was just a smorgasbord of just hip hop albums. Nas, Fugees, The Score came out in 96. Jay-Z's album, Reasonable Doubt, came out in 96. It was good music for like any genre, all the like the genres you wanted to listen to. There were artists that was like churning out some good albums. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like 96 was also the beginning of a transition year for Black pop culture, in that like we had all of this in the like 80s, early 90s. A lot of the rap music was in my mind like NWA. It was very like loud and aggressive. And then 96 through early 2000, the hip hop music, rap music started to be more mainstream friendly.
Yeah, because late 90s, like you had, you know, like Puffy kind of doing his thing and making more club bangers, you know.
So, and the reason why I bring that up, because I feel like the same thing was happening with Black movies, and I feel like movies done primarily with Black actors, and that you had Spike Lee and you had Singleton coming out with a lot of gritty Black stories, and Set It Off was definitely one of those movies that came out in the 90s. But in the early 2000s, I feel like that Black movie that we came to expect and love in the 90s was ripped away from us, and we got a lot of Tyler Perry movies rather than that rather than telling the true story of the Black experience.
I definitely will argue you feel that one. Yes, the Tyler slants. Yeah, like that early 2000s going into the late 2000s. Yes, you're right. Yeah, which kind of sidestep, like you were saying, you know, films like Set It Off that, sad to say, as of a big theatrical release, we have not yet to see again. So to get into this movie, right? So this movie is directed by F. Gary Gray. His debut film was Friday, you know, like one of the most beloved, you know, Black comedies, just comedies period of all time, right? Yeah, Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, I mean, just lightning in a bottle, just movie comedic magic. And this was his follow-up. Now this film stars Jada Pinkett Smith, Queen Latifah, Vivica Fox, Kimberly Elise. Those are four main characters that we follow through LA, South Central. And then the rest of the cast that rounded off is Blair Underwood and John C. McGinley of Scrubs fame. I always think of Scrubs when I think of him.
Same. Like, regardless of what he's in, I expect his Scrubs character to come out.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The assholery comes out in full force. A lot of, you know, Scrubs is in a comedic way, and this one is like, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
F. Gary Gray, you know, he delivered a movie with the screenplay by Kate Lanier that was, like I was saying, very much in that 90s essence of a black movie with Friday, and you had Boys in the Hood, and it felt like something that was, it felt like a real story. It felt like this could actually be something that was happening today in South Central. Maybe not the actual robberies, but like people having these conversations and taking a step into someone else's world when you watch this movie.
Right. Yeah. And also, you know, with these two characters, well, these four characters, all of the characters have distinct, you know, goals, motivations, and the movie takes time to really key in on all four of them. Not too long, but long enough for you to understand when they do make that ultimate decision, you know, to go that way, you understand. It's like, oh yeah, I get why you would do that. You know.
Yeah, so the movie starts out with us meeting Vivica A. Fox's character, Frankie. She's working in a bank. She's a bank teller, and someone comes in to rob the bank. And because she happens to be from South Central and knows the bank robber, the cops that come in to investigate automatically accuse the black woman. And she ends up losing her job. So now she needs money to live her life because she doesn't have a job anymore. Then we have Jada Pinkett Smith, her character Stoney. Her parents died when she was young, and she's been taking care of her brother, and he gets into UCLA, so she needs money to pay for his college. Then you have Kimberly Elise. Her name is TT. Her child is taken away from her by social services because she can't afford daycare. And so she needs money for daycare. And then Queen Latifah, just her character Cleo, just sort of wants some money to take care of her girdle on the side.
Right. And to get her a lowrider, you know, or get her lowrider pimped out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So boom, right there. Like, okay, all four of Asia, but
all four of those feel like very realistic stories of women that you could encounter in South Central. The black woman that's been accused of a crime that she hasn't been accused of. Someone that doesn't make enough money for her kid or her brother, family member to go to college. I mean, all three of those stories feel very realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that's good. And was also a unique thing about, you know, this particular film is because it gave weight and validity to black women's, you know, struggle in America, you know, that like, yeah, of course, like, you know, but black men go through it. Well, black women go through it. You know, it's like, it's not just the men, it's the women. And for this film to focus in on, you know, kind of like just a snapshot of how the system, you know, don't really give a shit about, you know, black women, you know, to the point where, and I love Vivica Fox's line, said, "We just take it from a system that's fucking us anyway." I mean, that's one of the best lines I ever heard in my life. Like, if that's not demotivation to do, like, to get yours, like, that's it. Like, hey, the system is fucking us anyway. Like, what's the Like, what's the difference? And I mean, that should have been the tagline of the poster. But it could do that.
Yeah. So basically, we meet these after we meet the four women and their struggles. They then get talking about bank robberies because Frankie, you know, she was basically a victim of bank robbery, and she's like, "Well, I know everything the way I know how banks work. Like, if anyone should be robbing a bank, it should be us because I know the situation." So let's go do it. And which then follows them doing bank robberies. And that's where we get to meet Blair Underwood's character, Keith, who happens to be working at a bank that they're casing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gotta have the beefcake in there somewhere. So pretty much what set Stoney off, her brother is, you know, wrongfully gunned down, mistaken identity, you know, by a cop or the detective, you know, whose crew is led by the Scrubs guy. What's his name? Strode, Detective Strode.
I feel like it's very ironic because when I saw this movie in the 90s, before everyone had cell phones and recording what cops actually do to people of color, this felt like a fantasy. Whereas now when I go back and watch this, it feels like, oh shit, like that happens. Mm-hmm. They weren't creating fantasy in this film.
Right.
They were documenting reality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for a lot of white viewers in the 90s, they were seeing this. We just thought it was a plot point in the story, not commentary on real life.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's all NWA was doing through their records. Just letting people in suburbia know, hey, this was going on over here.
We were hearing the lyrics, but we weren't listening to the lyrics.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it's just weird. Yeah. Just interested how, like you said, you know, when you look back at these movies, it's like, oh, wow. Like, oh, like that couldn't have happened in real life. Yeah, flash forward. But yeah, so pretty much Stoney is like, OK, like, let's do it. And now everyone on board. It don't take much for Cleo to get on board because she's pretty much like down for anything. Like she's the hood. Now she's the character that if it was a crossover between this movie and Menace to Society, her and O-Dog, like those two would be in the low rider together, just doing some crazy stuff. But so Cleo's like, whatever, like, let's do this. I don't give a shit. Like, let's get ours, you know?
And so B. Motifa's character is she does play a gay woman in the movie. And according to interviews with her before she agreed to do this, she went and talked to her family that, you know, I'm going to be playing a gay character. And now, and in interviews, even as early as like the 2000s, she refused to talk about her sexuality. Whereas last night on the Black Entertainment Awards, she came out and like during her acceptance speech for the award that she received, she thanked her partner and said, "I love you" in her speech. So it's amazing how in 25 years, how she has been able to come out and be more comfortable with her sexuality, where it was a concern that it might be a stigma for her by playing a gay character.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. This is 96. When did Ellen have her sitcom? Cause then her character come out in like one of those episodes. I was like, was it the late? It was late 90s, right? I think Ellen had her sitcom in like the late 90s. I think so. I don't think it was 96. That's too early.
It was from 94 to 98, but she came out in like the last season. So we'll say she came out in like 97, 98.
Okay. All right. So this is kind of, you know, riding the wave, sort of. Yeah. And so that's pretty cool. You know, she deserves it. She's been in the game for like decades. You know, she deserved to live however she want to live. That's the queen. Damn it. That's the equalizer, damn it. And so the movie, you know, just follows them, you know, doing their thing and getting money, you know. It's not, that's the thing. Like, they're not robbing to like get rich. Like, they're robbing just to maintain getting by, you know. And that's kind of the sad part of it all. It's like, yeah, like, okay, we just need, like, we robbing so, you know, I can get my son back, or, you know, like, I'm robbing so I can just maintain a living because I can't get a job because I was blacklisted because I knew one of those fools from around the way that was so happen to be robbing things, you know. So I think that's kind of like what's so unique about it. It's like, they're not like, oh, we're going to get all this money, then we go buy a mansion. They're like, we need this to get by and get out of here. You know? Yeah. So this.
Yeah. So we follow the ladies as they continue their robbery spree, and Detective Strode has figured out who it is. He recognizes Frankie from the first bank robbery, and starts to put together who all of the other women are. And the movie sort of climaxes in the final scene with a shootout at Blair Underwood's bank, where he met Stoney, and they had a little, there's like a side story where they have a romantic thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the side story is so we can have a sex scene with Blair Underwood. I mean, let's be honest. That's the only reason why his character is included.
I told you, gotta have the beefcake in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fantastic sex scene because it's set to, I forget what song it's set to.
In Vogue, but Don't Let Go.
Yes, In Vogue, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's set, it's not like you're seeing a whole lot of things. It's like close-up of body parts and then their faces of ecstasy on each different beat of the song. And it's a beautifully edited sex scene that doesn't show you anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. You just see reactions and kind of fingers brushing up against skin and stuff like that. Like I said, you know, gotta have that black love. Gotta show that black love, you know, in the midst of all this chaos.
After the big giant shoot up at the bank, the ladies have to go four different ways. TT actually ends up getting shot at the bank. Queen Latifah takes off to distract the police so that Stoney and Frankie can go their ways. Stoney makes it to a bus of tourists going back to, I think, Arizona.
Like Mexico, because once you have like a sombrero hat.
Oh, yeah, they did have sombrero hats. For some reason, I was like, that's Arizona. But you're right. They're going to Mexico.
I was like, how do you have sombrero hats to go to Arizona?
Right. I definitely was having a senior moment there.
That's all good. I mean, and like, look, Arizona, New Mexico is like, it's kind of, they kind of blend into each other. And I was like,
yeah, so they're headed to Mexico. She escapes. But then Frankie gets caught in the street and decides to do suicide by a cop versus being taken in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very, like, very, like, move. It's a very moving scene, you know, where, you know, where the detective, you know, ultimately spots, you know, Stoney on the bus, and they just, you know, they kind of looking at each other. You know, and Stoney just slowly just drives away. But it was very poignant. After watching it again, it's like, wow, you know,
He finally, like, you can see in his face when you finally realize that the system has fucked these ladies and he's part of the system.
Exactly. And he was part of, like, he was the catalyst also, that kind of the springboard to set these four women on their way to this life, you know, because his cop squad was responsible for killing Stoney's brother, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, killing her brother and getting Frankie fired from her job. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, like, ultimately, like, just that kind of internal moment with him, like, I don't know, that resonated with me even more so, because I really kind of got, like, what that scene was. Because I was like, oh, no, like, duck. Like, Stoney, duck, don't let him see you, duck, he's gonna catch you, duck. But, you know, like, that, yeah, that was a very poignant scene, and I really got it this time, and I was, not like how the actor who played the detective, like, how he played that scene, you know, that was really, really great.
Yep, agreed. So, our review is... Sit on the sofa and watch it with the family. Put on your shoes, go clean the house. You'd rather do something else, have it on in the background, or go outside and take on the crazies.
Yeah. So many reasons why this is sit down. One, you would never see a movie. I don't think, well, I got an IMDb this, but I don't think you're ever going to see a movie that's focused on four black women. Like, 2 hours is devoted towards a story about four black women and like three-dimensional black women. They're not strippers, you know, they're not, you know, well, one was a bank teller, but, you know, they're not the tropey, like, black women jobs that you would see, you know, the downtrodden, whatever, you know, stereotypical job.
Yeah, they're not the Tyler Perry women that are being judged for having careers.
Yeah, exactly. Got the stereotypical abusive husband and something like that. You know, it's like, no, like, this is a story of four black women that have years of friendship and bond between each other. And the story, like, Ride or Die is about these four friends. Like the situation forged them in fire, and they're die for each other at the end of the day. Just like, you know, just like Desperado. Like, this could be a Western. This movie could be a freaking Western, you know, about, you know, and it will still work. So, yeah. Anyway, this sit down for me.
Yeah, it is a sit down for me, but I feel like the first 10 or 15 minutes of the movie are a little rough. The acting and the writing initially, like, in the opening scenes, feels very like they were getting their footing at the beginning. Mm. And then towards the middle and the end of the movie, the ladies seem to know their characters better. But it definitely, like, the whole bank scene, it just... Vivica A. Fox feels like she's sort of overacting that a little bit. But until they come up with a plan to start robbing banks, I felt like either it was the writing or the acting, just something felt off to me. And I think in the 90s, I definitely watched the whole movie, but I don't think I came back to it, because every time I got to the beginning of the movie, that was a bit distracting to me. So if you start to watch the movie and you're like, what is going on? Definitely just give it some time and the movie does improve.
Yeah. And plus, you know, Queen Latifah, you know, goes out like Tony Montana in this movie. Like, dude, you gotta watch this one. You gotta watch it. It's, yeah.
Yeah, her death is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I could just say it to your point, like, it's the setup. But, you know, once the trajectory is, like, kind of set and they're off on their way to this kind of doomed journey, like it all just, you know, falls into place. So yeah, there you have it, guys. Set It Off, 1996. Support LGBTQ stories, even though one of the characters is, you know, a lesbian. You know, support Black women in front of the camera also, because it's sad that it's 2001. It's 2021, and this movie came out in 1996. Until this day, like, I have not seen a movie that focused on four Black women, three dimensional, like in a dramatic sense. Okay, we had Girls Trip, but I mean that was funny as hell. But you know, that was a comedy, right? But this was unique because this was like, okay, this is, you know, down gritty history.
Yeah, and typically, like, if you had four female characters, they always have, like, the one white character in there, whereas in this movie, the only real white character is the cop. Mm-hmm. I mean, even his partner is a Black woman.
Right.
And the only time you see white people in the movie are at the bank. So it's almost like in a lot of movies, you have all white characters, and then you have the token Black person, and the rest that might be a brand, high-paying, recognizable actor. And then the rest of the time you see Black actors, they are the set pieces. They're the waiters, the dancers in the club. So this was the reverse of that, which was really fantastic.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, definitely need to see more of that. Cool. Until next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
get your vaccines.
Yes.